welcome to your weekly Corner Spade. It is me, Kieran. I am joined by Uma.
Hello.
And I'm joined by Nick.
Hey, yo.
Whoa. And yeah, it's February now, I guess, with these episodes. Happy St. Bridget's Day to all our listeners. happy Imbolc, the beginning of spring. And what else?
Which I'm sorry, like not to shit on Irish history.
No, you're not doing this. I'm weirdly passionate about it. Daffodils are not a winter flower. They're not.
There's no way they actually bloom in February, though.
Daffodils. Yeah, they do. Yeah. Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
But it's still misery. Like, it's miserable.
All right. I know that Hollywood has set unrealistic expectations of what spring is like, but it's always been cold and miserable.
Okay. I mean, Berlin, February in Berlin is the worst month.
Mm.
Like, you can't change my mind. I mean, I'm not there anymore, so I'm fine. I survived. Yeah. But anyway, sorry. Go on. Happy St. Bridget's Day.
Happy St. Bridget's Day. From this overly Catholic podcast. It's spring. But like, the Irish calendar is based on like the planet's position relative to the sun. Cause St. Bridget's Day is the halfway point between the winter solstice and
the summer one.
No, the venal equinox, the spring equinox.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Halfway point between those two, so it's like,
see,
spring.
But that I understand, but not, it's not the start of spring.
Start of spring, because the venal equinox is the height of spring, is the midpoint of spring, and then you have, I think, Bealtaine comes after that. I'm not pagan enough for this. It's basically what it is, because like, yeah, like St. Bridget's is one of those like classic Christian ones of just like, hey, we're from Italy. You guys worship this goddess of spring and harvest. You'll never guess what. She's best friend.
Wild,
Jesus.
Crazy, yeah.
So
she did abortions.
Yeah, so. She did. She's
queen shit.
Queen shit. Bit of a disagreement between her and Jesus on that one, but they are still friends. You should just worship Jesus, actually. It'd be so easy if you just did that. Anyway, welcome back, Uma, after a little break. Nothing happened in January. Don't worry about it. It was a very uneventful month, politics-wise.
Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah. No, exactly. It's out of my mind, out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
Greenland,
yeah. Never heard of her.
No, exactly.
Nicolas Maduro, did I go to school with him? I don't know.
Exactly, yes. Anyway, I'm back.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we are here to kind of talk about some post-Davos Greenland stuff, because it is still kind of the story here, the existential story here, which, and also it's like far enough away from some of these events now that we've gotten the goss. There are a couple of things I want to get through beforehand that are related. Thing number one, kind of related to this or exists in the background, is the ACI, which stands for Anti-Coercion Instrument, and it is the, usually I see it referred to in the press as the trade bazooka.
Which you need a permit for in Arizona.
Yeah. Reading stuff like this really does remind me of the fact that we are the aliens from the opening scene of like Star Wars Episode 1. Like, that is what
you mean. The ones that I can do the voice for,
you can't do the voice for because those guys are Chinese.
Well, Kieran, all right, just so you know, my mother's side is actually Nemoidian, so I don't appreciate it. So I can do the voice. New Gunray is actually my uncle.
What happened to him? And it's a huge tragedy for the Nemoidian community. God damn it. I knew if I mentioned those aliens, you'd know the name of them.
Of course I would. Of course I would, Kieran. You can't bring up Star Wars shit to me and I don't know it.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do love how, like, they're kind of the bad guys for the first episode because, like, they're doing all this trade stuff. Ew. Fuck these guys. And then also,
you mean these guys called the Trade Federation care about trade?
Yeah.
Wild.
We should rename the European Union the Trade Federation. I think that'd be kind of cool.
That'd be sick.
Yeah. Still can't do the voice though. The passport doesn't give you that right.
God damn it, Kieran. You know, I have the Trade Federation voice locked and loaded every episode, just so you know. It's in my back pocket and I'm never allowed to do it.
Yep. No, I would never do a Chinese impression. That would be offensive. I can do a Trade Federation impression.
First off, all right, they're Thai. All right. Mm. That's what the voice is supposed to be.
Interesting.
Second off, it's fine. All right. It's A-OK.
The entire movie was wild. Anyway.
You're going to tell me Watto's racist too, huh?
In his tiny hat that he wears in his head and being very particular about money and his
The tiny hat. The tiny hat's episode two. Okay. It's because he's on hard times. All right.
Yeah, anyway.
Next, you're going to tell me that Jar Jar Binks is also problematic. Wow.
He's doing a Chad Hanks impression. He's fine. Star Wars Episode One, a rich vein of culture. Rich tapestry.
Great movie. Mm. Again, loved that when I was 7 years old.
Yeah. Okay, so the trade bazooka, or the anti-coercion instrument. Let's talk about this, because there was a lot of chat about what Europe was going to do on the run-up to Greenland, like the Greenland stuff happening. And weirdly, okay, there was a fair amount of chat, and basically it came down to, from several sources, the European Union was ready to trigger 93 billion euro of retaliatory tariffs, right? And that's interesting. Okay, let's talk about the tariffs. These tariffs were going to target things like Boeing, which, good. That fucking death trap. American cars, Levi's, Lucky Strike cigarettes.
Lucky Strike cigarettes already? What? That's not even like an actual American brand. It is, but it's not sold in the U.S. It's like a really funny one that then is made for the Europeans.
Yeah, we're tariffing it.
Yeah. That's fine, yeah. I mean, that's funny. Like,
yeah. So basically there was like, the logic was we're going to target a bunch of things that are kind of like American brands are kind of symbolic. So like the classic Harley Davidson's always on the list when we're talking about European tariffs to America. The other argument was like, if targeting the American stuff can be replaced with a European equivalent, like we can target bourbon, we'll just get everyone in Europe to drink Irish whiskey, as an example.
And there are plenty of European cigarettes, baby.
Oh, absolutely. We love it. Then there was like a targeted one, which was soybeans. And that is...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's to fuck over the state of Louisiana in particular.
That's so funny. The French get their revenge.
Yeah. The Ohio purchase.
Isn't the guy that Trump appointed as like special envoy to Greenland from Louisiana?
Oh, hold on.
Let me research this while you talk. That. Yeah.
The justification. Well,
he's just going to Greenland. I say.
Yeah, Senator Foghorn Leghorn.
Foghorn Leghorn, yeah.
Fucking in charge of Greenland now. So I know that there were two particular Louisianans.
Sorry, he's the governor of Louisiana.
Fuck yeah.
He's Jeff Landry. They were like, okay, you know, so targeted. They were like, let's fuck over his state.
Louisiana.
Jeff Landry, much obliged.
Much obliged. You speak like that all the time. You Greenlandic people are all right. the reporting I found didn't mention him, but probably also him. But like,
that's funny.
Two other Louisianan politicians of significance. The majority leader in Congress for the Republican Party, Louisiana representative. And Speaker of the House is also a Louisiana representative. So like they were the names I was given when reading about this of why Louisiana.
What a weird state to just be like down the barrel of Europe's trade shotgun or whatever the fuck. The trade bazooka.
Hang on. First should say, this isn't the trade bazooka. This is trade
gun.
Permitless gun. The permitless gun.
Trade normal conventional firearm.
Yeah, trade open carry. I've also find all of this interesting, this like very very eager, very ready to pull the 93 billion euro retaliatory tariffs, the way it was being discussed in the media. Very, very different from Liberation Day, because this was also what was being prepared for Liberation Day, but basically no one agreed on doing it, and that led to like Europe's weakness in this moment. And then you have Ursula von der Leyen looking depressed in Scotland next to Trump smiling like an idiot. That was like kind of like what led to that moment, right? So it's interesting now that everyone seems pretty on board with like shooting them off if necessary. But then we get into the ACI, the trade bazooka, the anti-coercion instrument. And I've often heard this being talked about, and I never realized what it included. So,
a blockade.
Is that a Chet Hanks impersonation again?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yes. Well, yeah, more or less. So this was...
Trade Federation at it again, baby.
Made in 2023, basically at the behest of Joe Biden. And it was meant to be... It was designed to be weaponized against the Chinese.
Yeah, Joe Biden, a.k.a. Darth Sidious.
Hilarious. This is here.
China, a.k.a. the planet Naboo.
Where they do Jet Hanks voice all the time. They're very appropriate Gungan accents. All right. So, this would, if implemented, basically shut down the following things within Europe. American tech. So like us as a podcast, we'd be fucked. That would just cut off all the money and all the like stuff that we use. But here's the fun thing. We would be revoking intellectual property rights. So we would, like, everyone employed by Google in Ireland would immediately be fired and then rehired by Google, the new French company that exists or whatever, because fuck it, we ball. Tariffs on American media. So there would be kind of like blockades against things like Netflix and basically cultural production from the United States, especially the bigger companies. Bar United States companies from public procurement contracts. And it would stop American banks from getting access to European finance.
Europe, do it. This sounds sick. This sounds. I mean, I know that you built it to fight the peace loving planet of China, but turn it on the US. This is awesome. I love this. I mean, yes, it would fuck up a bunch of stuff, but it's like, that's too funny. Do we know anyone who can, like, you know, double dog dare them to fucking do it?
Well, this is interesting because, so yes, it was originally designed for, against the Chinese, but it's come back into conversation because it is being discussed in, like, by our, you know, our betters in Europe or whatever, by the elite. They are genuinely discussing using it against the United States. Three guesses of who's particularly gung-ho about using it. Which nation? Any guesses?
Slovakia.
I'll get to them later. No, France. France is like the one who's like, pull the fucking trigger, baby. fuck it, we ball.
Everyone's gonna be using bunk or whatever the fuck their stupid quant. Other shit is.
Okay,
quant. Yeah,
I have something to say. Recently, upon recommendation, I tried quant again. It has gotten better.
Hell yeah! You know what? I'm switching to quant now. Now that you mentioned it, my preferred search engine. Yeah, Connor Spatey, brought to you by.
Quant, yeah.
Quant, Galois.
Yeah.
I don't know. Dassault, the not going to talk about what they do.
Actually, a lot of the French brands I'm just coming to mind right now are all on the BDS list. So I'm like,
yeah, they're all very evil.
I'm not saying any of those. Speaking of French
Renault makes tanks. Fuck.
Yeah.
France really has the like deepened evil economy of like similarly. It's like when it's like here when I go and like buy like a frozen pizza, and I'm like, oh my, you know, forget.
Yeah, Dr. Ucker's a doctorate is in eugenics.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like I bought myself a frozen pizza last night. I'm just staring at it and be like, I could have not bought the Nazi one.
No, I mean, it's just the ambient Hitler particles in this entire continent, right? It's
just yeah.
Yeah. No, it's genuinely like all conversations.
It's a continent-wide problem, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Nick, you're talking about like, last night I was eating the Hitler pizza. Uma was like, yeah, I went and visited this mountain. A Franco pizza is just a paella. That's right. Yeah. Like, I demand everyone cook this dish. I will eat it.
Yeah. Oh, God. You know, for Germany, that's the Linseneintopf.
Yeah.
So, like, lentil soup is, like, actually a Nazi dish.
Oh. They had a cuisine.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. No, but it's like, it's very funny because like a Linseneintopf is very much a part of German society, but it was like very much a Nazi thing to be like, we want people to eat healthy. And so they like introduced like promoting Linseneintöpfe and whatnot.
Oh, sure, yikes. Sure.
Yeah.
Like, it also sounds like, hey, some supply lines are getting cut off. Have you tried eating lentil soup?
No, this is like early in Nazism.
Oh, is it earlier? Okay.
Yeah. This is like when, because remember, like the Nazism's had the whole, I mean, hilariously connected to like the MAGA shit too, of like the Make America Healthy Again shit.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, absolutely.
The Nazis had like such like crank health ideas and whatnot too.
I have no way to segue. There's other topics.
Thought smoking, anyway. They thought smoking was bad. Could you believe that? The Nazis hated smoking? That's not very European of them.
No, it isn't. All right. Next, I have to talk about in terms of like some Brussels bubble gossip that I think colors the wider topic we're bringing up here. Is everyone
and that is Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones?
Everyone hates Ursula von der Leyen is what I'm titling this section. In some of them are surprising. So. Buried in Politico.eu's latest listicle, top 5 hardest jobs in Brussels. I kid you not, that was the name of the fucking title of this article.
Running out of ideas. Jesus
absolutely.
Christ.
On fumes. Is some assessment of the commission under Ursula von der Leyen, which sounds fucking miserable. There are two roles in particular that they describe that sound give a taste and a flavor of what Ursula von der Leyen's commission is like. And the first is Paula Pinha. She's Portuguese, so I'm pronouncing that name wrong. But she is the
Is it NH?
NH, yeah.
I think it's Pinha.
Pinha, okay.
It's like a NY kind of thing, I think.
All right, sure. You're closer to them than I am, so I'm gonna defer to you. Like,
trust the Spanish, Southern European.
Yeah, Spanish is nice, so it just has a separate letter for that sound. We love it.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, sorry. Go on.
Yeah. No. She's the current Commission Chief Spokesperson. You'd probably remember her from when the journalist asked the "Should Israel pay for the destruction of Gaza?" question. She was the one who had to give the like mealy-mouthed response to that. That's probably the most we've ever seen of this woman. But in the description of her job, this lovely little paragraph pops up. In the von der Leyen era, officials say that the commission president works in a brackets, metaphorical, close brackets, bunker, with only her head of cabinet, Bjorn Sabart, in the loop, while everyone else is either in the dark or informed only on a strictly need-to-know basis with Ursula von der Leyen.
Ah, okay. Europe's Darcidius. I see. All right. I see where we're going with this.
It does sound a little bit like Downfall or whatever. following paragraph. So,
guys, it turns out that the Sith Lord is actually the Chancellor. Did you know that?
So Paula Pinha, going back to her, she has to face questions from journalists in front of the cameras every working day. But often Pinha cannot respond either because she's not allowed to or because she's not been given the answer, officials and diplomats say.
That is so embarrassing. Oh my God, that is the most embarrassing. That is like a kink, like a shame kink or something. No, that is, oh my God.
Well, I mean, because like every time Ursula von der Leyen is asked a question by someone that then isn't, you know, pre-screened by her, she just has them arrested.
Like. Yeah, it sounds bad. Like the fact that she's not even... Like, it also just seems like a bad strategy to not also just loop in the spokesperson.
That is insane. That just makes no sense.
It really just, it hammers onto the fact that then Ursula von der Leyen, from just the beginning of all time of her existence, has just been shitty at everything that she does. Like, I love it. I love the fact that then that she's like, oh, well, in order to keep my circle tight, I just have to have one person around me. And it's like, sure, fine. And then she just doesn't let anyone else know of anything that then is going on. Yeah. It's just like, it's perfect. It perfectly... you know, encapsulates her failed daughter bullshit. You know, just a woman who's never actually had to work in her life, you know?
Oh, yeah. And if more people
remember, Ursula von der Leyen's family was so rich and problematic, her parents were afraid that the RAF were going to, you know, kidnap her.
Yeah. I do like this logic of, if I invite more people into my room, that more people, there's a chance that more people expect me to do my job.
German of her too, you know. Exactly, like everyone forgets that the Germans hate working.
Oh, absolutely. It's probably the best lesson I've taken from German work culture, which is the right to hate your job.
The right to also not work.
Next, the article goes on to describe the role of EU foreign policy chief Kaya Kallas and her position under Ursula von der Leyen, which I consider kind of illuminating, because I think a narrative is built amongst, like, I think myself included, all the left, that basically Ursula von der Leyen and Kaya Kallas are two genocidal apologizing peas in a pod. However, this might complicate, this assessment might complicate that narrative a bit more. So, relations between von der Leyen and the former holder of the role, Josep Borrell, were very bad, according to officials. It is even worse under Kallas. I know, right? Kallas privately complains that she, von der Leyen, is a dictator, but there is little or nothing she could do about it.
The girls are fighting.
The girls are fighting,
and you're fighting against a woman that has no actual power, which is hilarious. Yeah, this is like, oh, like I'm a dictator of my Discord server or something.
Mm.
No, you have more power on a Discord server than I would say that you have in the European Union.
Well, she was like, von der Leyen was specifically installed to be just like a nobody. And then,
yeah, because no one knew who Manfred Weber was.
Yeah, no one liked him. And then like, but then by some sort of cruel twist of fate, she ends up being the commission president during the pandemic, the invasion of Ukraine, and the second Trump presidency, which have all been, so far for Europe, pretty fucking consequential. And she's just there in her metaphorical bunker with Bjorn Seibert, whoever that is. Anyway.
Isn't he a former CDU?
No, I think Bjorn Seibert is a lady. And from Sweden, look that up. I'm not entirely sure. Anyway, it seems that Ursula von der Leyen is intentionally undermining Kaja Kallas's department.
No, he's a German
oh,
Beamter. Yeah.
Oh, okay, I'm,
the party doesn't give, but yeah, no. I was always
she's like a CDU purist. Then she just doesn't want to talk to anyone who's not CDU.
Yeah, no. I mean, he's a German functionary in the European Union.
Yep, there you go. All right. Hell yeah. Anyway, Ursula von der Leyen is intentionally undermining Kaja Kallas' department, which is the European External Action Service. I'm going to call the EEAS from now on, probably.
Yes.
She's done this a couple of ways. First, and this is probably something that I find particularly interesting, Ursula von der Leyen is creating new special departments that take over what the EAS is meant to be doing. First, she created the Directorate General for the Middle East, North Africa, and the Gulf, usually abbreviated to DG MENA, which actually wrestled things like the EU's response to something like, I don't know, Gaza, away from Kaja Kallas and made it not her responsibility anymore, which is fucking weird. She also blocks Kaja Kallas's specific appointments. So whenever Kaja Kallas wants to hire someone, Ursula von der Leyen intervenes and says no.
Sorry.
Yeah. This particularly culminated in an incident where Kaja Kallas wanted to appoint Martin Selmayr, Juncker's former chief of staff and well-respected and feared amongst like EU Brussels bubble circles, as the second in command of YAS, and Ursula von der Leyen just came in and said no. Also, it is being kind of openly acknowledged now that Kallas got the job because she's from Estonia, in the sense that like Josep Borrell was a problem for Ursula von der Leyen because he was from what is currently and is usually one of the largest parties from one of the larger countries in the European Union. There was really only so much bullying she could do with a pretty senior figure in like a PSOE, like basically. Whereas Kaja Kallas is from a small country and the Estonian parliament is split like 12 ways between several neoliberal parties of which she is one member of.
I mean, I don't want to say well duh, but yeah, well duh.
Like, yeah, and also like not to, this is in no way a defense of Kallas, but also von der Leyen seems to me like the biggest internalized misogyny, like kind of like woman ever, that like I would love to see. Yeah, no, but like I would love to see if she would act the same with if Kallas was a man, even if he was from like Estonia or like whatever, you know.
Yeah,
but yeah, she just feels
you heard
like,
it here. Kaja Kallas transition. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, German conservatives are very respective of that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like
that, I mean, but yeah. I think you're right though, Uma, in the sense that then, you know, von der Leyen being a woman from Germany's, like, you know, pro-marital rape party is you know, yeah, of course. Like, no, it's the only way that it... The, what? Yeah, no. The only way that would have been worse is if she was an FDP politician.
No, literally. And also one of, like, the old guard as well. You know, like, she's probably said the nastiest shit about other women. Like, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go on.
Yeah. So
I bet that list is longer than just women of things that people
Yeah, 100%.
The next thing to kind of give context to the EU emergency summit is all right, so let's go. I'm going to talk about the EU emergency summit, which happened before Davos. But after Davos, we have a very unfortunate incident, which is Mark Rutte seems to be up his own hole and very confident in the things that he is saying, which is not great. And I don't like that. Are you all right, Nick?
Can we briefly just talk about that video that you sent in the group chat of Mark Rutte?
Yes.
getting a haircut, first off, getting getting a fade, first off.
Wait, that's like, not real, is it?
It might be fake. I don't know.
I don't know, but
no, it's AI.
It should be, but I just, like, I've had that fake or not that has been in my brain this entire time, and it makes me mad. It has to be AI, because there's no fucking way that he's throwing up, you know.
No.
Yeah.
But that's crazy. Who thinks I'm going to do an AI?
It's by the barbers.
Probably.
It's by the barbers. Like, it's their line.
I know, but it's
would be
so
great
crazy.
Promo for us if the, what? Like,
that's like, yeah.
Head of NATO got their fade here.
Yeah, what a crazy person to, like, use for AI. Like, that's just...
There's a lot of footage of him. He was prime minister of the Netherlands for so long.
No, true. I mean, I guess that's also part of it, right? But just fake or not, that video's been in my brain and it's been making me mad.
Mm.
His face makes me mad. He's so, as you said earlier, like, slimy, like, little fucking freak. Like, he's so fucking weird. And just speaking for everybody.
Yeah, it has to be AI. Like, now that I'm watching it
is,
again.
It is.
Yeah, it has to be. But
after Davos, he had a meeting with Trump and just, like, about Greenland. And literally the Greenlandic and the Danish garments were just like, we have no fucking idea what Rutte talked about with Trump. Like,
no one
we're
does.
Not being
Trump
asked
doesn't.
About this. Yeah, I'll probably. No, Jesus. His speech in Davos, I had to watch it. Oh, Lord, Jesus fucking Christ, man. He spoke for like an hour. Mm. In theory, he had to speak for like 30 minutes, but of course, nobody can confine.
No, you can't. You can't tell him to get off the stage.
Oh, my God. And then just the way, I mean... I don't think I had ever actually sat through a speech of his. Like, you always just see the clips or whatever. He has dementia or something. Like, generally, he's not okay. Yeah, he's generally not, like, he makes fun of Sleepy Joe or whatever. You are going down the same exact route. Like, he's not, and just saying, I wasn't going to speak about Greenland. And then speaks about Greenland for like 30 minutes. Also calling it Iceland multiple times.
Yeah.
Nope, that's just normal American behavior. I don't know what you're talking about. That's just a normal American.
He does seem like he's just shotgunning like NyQuil. Like,
yeah.
Just like,
again, American tradition.
Yeah.
You've never seen the Benadryl hat man? Come on, guys. I mean, I haven't, but you know. You don't just casually take a bunch of fucking cough medicine.
Yeah.
Nope.
Missing out.
All right, we gotta talk about Mark Rutte, because like that after like Davos and after like Trump kind of like pulled back a little bit from his threats towards Greenland or whatever, the quote came to mind, which is success has many mothers, failure is an orphan, of the idea of like when something kind of good happens, everyone's taking fucking credit for it, So Mark Rutte is convinced that he did it, that he got Trump.
Saved the world. Yeah.
When, like, I say this as an insult to Mark Rutte, it equally could have been Macron's aviators. Like, it was you or the knockoff Ray-Bans, my dude. Like, it's like.
Also, out of all the glasses he could have worn, okay, whatever. It's
Rocks.
Yeah. No!
It's so bad. I love it. It's so bad. I love it. It's perfect. It's perfect for him. The mirrored aviators, too, is just even worse.
Yeah. Ugh,
so
the
bad.
Fucking, I like, that is such divorced dad energy of like, I found these in the gas station. Aren't they sick?
If you've seen Macron wearing the aviators at like Davos giving a speech or something, I implore you, listener, please try find footage of him doing like way more boring stuff while wearing it. It was funnier. Like him sitting down with like a Korean delegation just talking to them about like trade between France and South Korea. Hilarious while wearing the aviators. Anyway, Mark Rutte after Davos then gives a talk to like the European Parliament in that little room that like Phidias records all his videos in.
RIP to a real one getting hit up with like corruption charges.
I know, right? Also, I think he got a hit for saying the R slur about the Special Olympics as well.
No!
Well, no. Yeah. Oh, Phidias is a podcaster, our fifth mic. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Anyway. No,
he just meant it in like the cool cumtown way.
Oh, God. Anyway, Mark Rutte. All right.
That's the most Greek fucking thing, too.
I know. It's also very like Mr. Beast style YouTuber.
Like, yeah. Just like he's like trying to promote it. This is something that your immigrant grandma would say. I'm like, oh, you going to the Olympics?
And like, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it was, unfortunately, I don't think it was that well-intentioned. Anyway.
That's even more immigrant parent of him in the United States bullshit. I love him. He rips. Like, he then just calls the Special Olympics the slur and hates it. Like, yeah. That's just perfect.
I also want to say that in his latest video where he explains like the trade deal between India and Europe, he's just in that tiny room while obviously he has like two members of his staff just kind of like hold the European Union and Indian flag in frame while he's like shaking and just be like, Europe has just signed a trade deal. And I'm like, I'd love to be hired by this guy. I like
his metaphorical bunker.
Yeah, like I get like, I've been bussing tables for 30 years in Brussels trying to get onto that like lucrative EU civil servant job. And suddenly I'm just hired by this fucking guy.
You're working at like a diner in Brussels. What are you doing here, hon? Ah, well, I moved here to work. I had dreams of becoming Phidias' idiot.
Yeah. Anyway, Mark Rutte's talking in the room, the fucking Phidias' green room. Quote, if anyone thinks here that the European Union or Europe as a whole can defend itself without the US, keep on dreaming. A European pillar is a bit of an empty word. I wish you luck that if you want to do it, I think Putin will love it. So, naturally.
Meanwhile, fucking Trump is besties with Putin. Like, what are we...
What are we doing here?
Sorry. What are we doing here? What are we doing here? Anyway, yeah.
I don't think Trump and Putin are friends. I think Vladimir Putin very much is the smarter one in this relationship.
Oh, 100%.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, but, oh, you, we're friends.
I was talking to my brother about this, and he was saying like, basically, I mean, he's not the first one to say this. Many people have said it, but it's like Trump is basically a person. He doesn't understand politics. He just understands interpersonal relationships, right? Yeah. So he's like, why would Putin do this to me? We're buddies. Like he doesn't understand. He's just like, yeah, I like exactly. Putin. So Putin needs to, you know, be nice to me because I like him.
I think in order to explain this to President Trump, sir, if you're listening, I'll explain it to you in teenage girl terms. All right. Vladimir Putin is only friends with you because your family's rich. Mm. That's it. Yeah.
Because you have a pool and a boat.
You have a pool. Exactly. He calls you a fugly slut all the time and doesn't actually like you.
Exactly.
Just letting you know.
He's doing that like cheer ugly chant thing. U-G-L-Y.
Yeah, yeah,
he's
yeah.
honestly saying you don't have an alibi, President. okay, so I'm reading Mark Rutte's comments as the Mark Rutte would like to keep his job comments. Because we mentioned this before the podcast of like this guy is just trying desperately not to be the guy in charge of NATO when it falls apart. And I think this is one way of doing it. It also falls in line with this one completely glanced me over, but like during the kind of Greenland crisis or whatever we're calling this now, his comment was in response when asked about it, I don't want to drag NATO into it. Yeah, so it is just really like Mark Rutte likes Mark Rutte's job, and I think he's very angry at all of us for threatening Mark Rutte's job.
exactly. Yeah.
Naturally enough, with comments like this, he is pissed off the French, who do not believe that this is true. Famously, I think the most like notable comment really against him was one MEP, Nathalie Lousseau, who was also formerly the foreign affairs minister during the time of the Iraq war and was basically the person in charge of saying to the Americans, no, we're not going into Iraq with you. So she's like, it's a disgraceful moment. Rutte thinks that being rude with Europeans will please Trump. We don't need a Trump zealot. The other one that was a decent quote was a one Catherine Vautrin, who is the French Armed Forces Minister, who basically said things more plainly, which was like, I don't think we should strategically be saying this out loud. Even if you agree with it, it's probably not something to broadcast in public to like also, you know, Russia, that like, you know, Europe needs America. The foreign minister from Spain, Jose Manuel Alvarez. Thank you. he's also pissed off. He made calls for like a European army, which seems very pointed. Kaya Kallas is also pissed off. This is Mark Rutte just being a little gross weirdo.
Bitch.
Yeah, bitch, basically. Yeah.
A little bitch.
Very in line with the daddy comments. Yeah.
Literally, Trump shouted him out in his speech. Like,
he did.
Said the word daddy and was like, Mark, are you here, Mark?
Son.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, so disgusting. I hate them. I hate. Such a cuck.
I love the fact too that Trump
Mark
has no
sitting,
idea.
Mark is yeah. Rutte is sitting in the fucking cuck chair in yep. like the trains. You know, like I hate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly. That's also so fine of Trump. Like so hilarious of Trump. Just like even his biggest fan, he's just like, I don't really care. Are you even fucking here? Like whatever, you know. Like bring back, yeah, you know, bring up Lil Pimp.
Because he knows it's this. It's also like even Trump is weirded out by Rutte and like his fucking serfdom.
Yeah, Trump likes. Yeah. Trump likes flattery strictly into the sense that he knows that he has Rutte around his like you know his finger.
Someone,
but like he just like makes fun of him. He'll just be like, I can guarantee you that there will be a speech in like a week or two. He'll be like, Mark Rutte, my good little boy. You know, he's always saying
Mike Rutte. Guaranteed he'll say Mike
just gets his name wrong or whatever, some shit like that. Just be like, you know, just like low-key kind of make fun of him for him being such a little cuck because he like kind of does that.
Yeah.
You know, like Trump is still a queenie bitch at the end of the day.
Someone put it really well. I can't remember who, but basically said Trump likes flattery. He hates flatterers.
Yeah.
Like, that's basically it. He never, like, this has always been the problem with the European strategy of like, let's just bear hug or whatever the stupid IR term would be for this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Trump is just going to be like, oh, did you see all those, the like he'll point out that he's a cuck,
yeah.
you know? Like, he'll be like, oh, you stupid little bitch sending me these messages. Yeah, keep doing it. That's why he likes people like that. Like when him and Kim Jong-un were getting along so well, it's because this was someone that was like an unobtainable friend to him.
Yeah, you know? This is a rare gash. This is a rare gachapon game he's playing.
Speaking of, my card shop's doing very well, Kieran. Thank you.
I'm so glad that your virtual card shop is doing really well.
Yeah. Comet Ping Pong 2.0. Come on by.
Nick's got really into TG trading card game shop simulator on his computer.
It's so fun. It's dumb. It's beautiful.
You know what? Good for you, Nick. I support you.
All right. So the emergency summit. Let's talk about that. So the EU held a summit that was in response to the Greenland stuff, right? Naturally, this is what a summit is for. And we are now a week, I guess, after the event, getting like what was discussed in these circles. They're still kind of disagreeing on what the correct strategy should be.
Mm-hmm.
Basically summarized as engagement or estrangement. Is what the little cute term they're using at the moment, right? Which is like, do we call him daddy again, or do we do that trade bazooka thing that we were talking about earlier? And there's some divides being brought up. One, everyone is acknowledging the UK is particularly in a weak position. You could probably tell they're in a weak position because they're going to EU summits when they're not in the EU anymore. That's
how's it feel,
sign.
Bitch?
Yeah, welcome back, loser.
Welcome back, you fucking loser. Yeah. Oh,
who ordered this big pile
so
of wallpaper?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I didn't see their gear.
what's your queer Sturmer? What the fuck? Who are you?
God damn it.
Sorry, you're not on the guest list. I'm not. Yeah, the only reason I will become really pro EU is just to tell the British to go fuck off.
So they're noted as being in a weak position, or like a bad position, because like, this is fascinating because I never see this acknowledged in most articles, but like, God bless the Financial Times for just like being honest for fucking once. Or not, like being honest amongst other journalists, which is like, they acknowledge that the UK's nuclear deterrent is 100% controlled by the United States. And they're like, they can't really be.
Why do you even have a nuke then?
I know, it's fun.
Like, at least the French were smart. Right?
Yeah, the French were like, we got to control the nukes.
God, you know what? You really got me out of here being like a pro-nuclear armament.
Other divides that exist, the North and the East are getting kind of pissed about strategy compared to the South and the West, because the North and the East are like, we're spending a lot in defense, we're arming the fuck up, we'd like you guys do as well.
To be fair, that is like entirely in their own stupid paranoia.
That was their yeah,
that's their fucking, you know what, yeah. This is your fault. You know, you're not going to support us in a war against Russia. No, I kind of don't want to. Sorry, Finland. What? Explain to me what was the logo of your Air Force up until like 5 years ago? Like, you know? Yeah. I'm so sorry. Sorry, Latvia, a country that then still has like a holiday for the SS. I'm fine not supporting you either.
The South and the West are also kind of like throwing this back, being like, we don't want to spend that, we think you're spending too much money on this. Like, they're also pissy in the other direction.
Well, I respect my Southern European brothers and sisters.
People, generals who were on like kind of on the record as a general to the Financial Times did point out that there is this kind of like nervous chatter that if NATO were to suddenly collapse or become non-feasible, the UK and Italy in particular would probably not be interested in collective European defense, but would then go and try sign bilateral agreements with the United States. So like, yeah, that's a problem.
I mean, it's just kind of like very funny in the sense that then it like, if this thing does break apart, then just like Europe succumbs to global politics.
Yeah, I mean, there was
like it's all a bilateral agreement. Like you mean that thing that every other country has to do? Like,
yeah, I think.
Oh,
like,
God forbid.
Bilateral agreement with the United States in this moment would probably just suck.
Yeah.
The other, like, but yeah, there was a former Italian ambassador to NATO who was like quoted saying something to this line. It was like his name, I kid you not, was Stefano Stefani.
Like that football player, Orthodoxu or whatever. Yeah, did you see that? Yeah.
So Stephen was saying that basically, like, he basically openly acknowledged kind of like a thing that a lot of people on the left kind of openly admit, which was like NATO allowed for European integration to happen. And he made the point that, like, when questions of defense, military, and army were all taken away from the Europeans, it was easier for them to, like, do this kind of like cross-border business and political rights and social shit because we were pointing guns at each other. He's kind of like, if NATO goes away, that might also go away, which is interesting. The other thing that's acknowledged in this article by the Financial Times that is also great to just see written down, which is like, they acknowledge that everyone kind of believes this, that some sort of break with America is like coming and needs to be dealt with. There's some sort of change or shift or whatever. But no one wants to talk about it because it's strategically a bad idea to talk too publicly about it. That is the kind of like place they're in at the moment. So it's nice to know I'm not fucking crazy. It's basically it.
Actually, you know what? I've changed my tune on NATO right now. The fact that then that NATO allows Europe to do what Europe loves to do, which is be lazy. I kind of have to support that. All right. Like, as a European podcaster, okay, you know, culturally European. Mm-hmm. I've heard that argumentation before, but when it comes out of an Italian's mouth, I got to take it a bit more seriously.
Maron
is right. We get it. I'm allowed to work 30 something hours a week and smoke cigarettes because of that.
Mm.
And get free healthcare because of that. Free is a bit of a over exaggeration.
I think
affordable healthcare.
We can build it in. Like, the French are making their own version of Zoom called Visio, and like inbuilt into that will be if your manager organizes a call with you after 5 p.m., they automatically get reported to HR. Like, just build it in.
That would be great. Yeah. No. Yeah. You need to do that.
I saw the memes about it.
Yeah, the Visio.
Yeah, like meeting at 3 p.m. and it's just people like smoking.
Just wearing floral shirts.
Exactly. Return. Europe. This is the good things. Chain smoking, drinking, being late, not working.
Yeah. Sorry, you're going to have to speak up. I think there's something wrong with the connection, or I'm possibly faded on peach aperitifs.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Wants to be like, yeah, it's like no one wants to be like Austria, who's like pushing for like a 60 hour work week, you know, like we want, like everyone wants to be like, maybe not just the French, but you know, what was that? I mean, one of the favorite corner speaking moments is that cover of that Dutch magazine that was like, look at how the fucking cool the Italians are. They have everyone's
it's
beautiful.
Yeah, the north of Europe is always making fun of the south of Europe. And then they're like, there's this whole village in Italy that has a bunch of like 100-year-olds. How did they do it? And then it's just like, we drink red wine, we eat carbs, and we sleep when we're tired.
Yeah. The sleeping when tired one is the funniest one, that like just the neoliberal, like Protestant work ethic brain can't comprehend of like, what? Like, you know, naps? That's Jesus would hate that. That's gonna ruin my Christian credit score with God.
Yeah, it is like, I'm building a credit score with Jesus. Yeah.
It's like this thing too of like, I got really mad the other day because my mom was telling me that my sister is trying to like implement a new like nap time system for my niece. And I'm just like, no, this is, you cannot be succumbing to the like neoliberal Protestant work ethic with a 2-year-old.
You're doing
let her sleep.
you're doing the meme about, you're like becoming the meme about anarchists of like being against nap time.
No, pro nap time.
Pro nap time.
I'm pro nap time. No, my sister's anti nap time. My sister's like, no, she has to get one nap a day. And I'm like, no, she get like as many naps as she wants. She's a 2-year-old. She has no job.
Anyway. There's also chatter of, and just I'm wrapping this up before I get one last little extra summit detail in, which is there's also this chatter of the fact that like America has actually actively been pulling away, and that's why the conversation of Europe also pulling away is getting louder and louder. One of the things that was like a big deal and a big headline for a bit at the beginning of the Trump presidency, but then kind of like no one's kept talking about it, was the whole like America's no longer sharing like intelligence with a lot of Europe, including Ukraine. And that gap has now been filled. Apparently 2/3 of Ukrainian intelligence is coming from the French. So like the gaps are like America's pulling back and the gaps are being filled. America is like putting like getting more hesitant about sharing weapons, but then at the same time Ukraine is now producing their own drones. And the French and Italians are sending over an air defense system that, while untested, Macron claims is superior to the Patriot system. So, like, all this shit's happening. Yeah. Like,
the Patriot system fucking sucks.
It's just the guy from the Vizio memes with some slingshots. Just like, smoking. I was like, I got him.
It's just, what's his name? That French basketball player, Victor Wembanyama, or whatever the hell his name is.
Dunking. There is just one weird side piece of information that came out from the summit. One head of state pulled people aside and had a bit of a mini summit about something he discovered. And that person was Robert Fico. He pulled people aside, basically talking about the fact that he met Trump on the 17th of January in Mar-a-Lago. And Robert Fico, for anyone who forgot, is the prime minister of Slovakia and is considered like a Trumpian kind of figure here. Maybe not like Trumpian, but like supportive of those kind of right-wing politics. Probably more akin to Orban than Trump. And described Trump's mental state, psychological state, as dangerous and, quote, out of his mind.
That rocks. This is a dude who got shot in the head.
Yeah, like, actually, yeah. This is a good point.
Robert Fico probably has some level of brain dead damage from being like the European 50 Cent.
Yeah. But like Trump, that guy's crazy.
This is a man too who then, like, after getting shot in the head, decided it was the coolest idea to then unveil the new tunnel in Slovakia by rollerblading through the entire thing.
Yeah.
He's also not like, I mean, he's unwell brackets cool. Maybe not his politics, but he's definitely bounced back after getting fucking domed.
Oh, absolutely. So basically, this was all discussed at an informal huddle outside of the emergency summit where Robert Fico was like, BT dubs, I met Trump recently. I don't know, gang.
Imagine how much clout he has, though, in these like nerdy huddles just fucking by being shot in the head.
Also, based on like Brussels discussions and liberal understandings of Europe, if I'm like the prime minister of Luxembourg and then like the guy who you're just advertised as like Trump ally in Europe comes over to you as like, yo, Trump's fucking insane, guys. He's just stupid and weird right now. I don't know. That raises some fucking eyebrows, I guess. There is one little caveat I should put onto this, which is both the White House and Robert Fico, after the story was published, have denied this is the nature of the event. There was like, oh, they sat down and they had a lovely time. It was fine. No one was out of their mind. Robert Fizzo had a great time.
Yeah, because Robert Fizzo has like a gun pointed to his head once again, but by this time in person who won't miss.
Yeah.
By the, ICE this time, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, ICE might miss, but the CIA won't. Robert Fizzo will get shot in the head twice by himself. Let's just say that.
The yeah, it was found chopped up into tiny pieces, put into two suitcases. Yeah,
which
yeah, it's been suicide. Ruled as suicide. Yeah, yeah, yeah. mental health is so important. The goddamn. Anyway, yeah, no. The White House did their whole thing of like being kind of stupid 12-year-olds about it and being like, "Oh, these are a bunch of European bureaucrats who want attention." The sources are uncredited.
Yeah, brackets gay.
Yeah, yeah. Also, the Robert Fizzo denial is super interesting because he was like, oh, like what Politico is saying is not true, blah, blah, blah. But then Robert Fizzo, because this is a Facebook post, because that's how he operates, brings back something.
I love the era we live in.
I know, right?
I love it.
But he brings back something in this, like, Politico's wrong. He brings up something that he brought up before and has actually been quite consistent on, which is Robert Fizzo is very, very opposed and publicly against the kidnapping of Maduro. So like he brings that up again in his whole politico.eu thing is wrong about this, you know, assessment of events. And it's like, but don't get me wrong. I still think Trump was bad for doing that. And it's like, oh, okay. So yeah.
What a weird way of trying to deny something, right? Like,
yeah,
they have a point in the fact that I don't agree with this, so I don't think that was okay. But yeah, I didn't say that. I didn't say the other stuff. Like, time
was
okay.
Yeah, Mar-a-Lago was great. He showed me his low toilet and where he kept all those secret files or whatever. I had a McDonald's.
Oh my god, so weird.
I had McDonald's float into me by helicopter. Yeah, so that was the summit. That's what our betters are doing right now.
So cool. You know what? China, please. Just do it. I don't
care.
We
can't call for
this
every week, Nick.
I can't call, you know what? But I want to understand the power of a Dongfeng 61 ICBM, please. Just, I'm done. You know, I'm in a stable enough mental health state to not do it myself. Please, China. Berlin hates you. Just it's fine.
My virtual trading card shop is the save state of that store in the cloud. I'll get it back.
Yeah, I'll get it back when I reach Chinese heaven.
Yeah. All right. And with that, nothing to promote. Buy a shirt. Buy a shirt.
Yeah, buy a shirt. You need to get dripped out. And we're you know, Corner Spatey's now in the swag department.
Yep.
So
yeah, go get some shirts, wear them. It's cold. You can wear something on top.
A shirt's not gonna help you.
Wear
there.
Something on top. I don't care.
Oh, we should make Corner Spatey shiesties. That'd be cool. Like Corner Spatey balaclavas. That's a great idea, actually. Not even unsarcastically.
I'll look into it.
I'll let you know.
All right. And with that, we will catch you on the bonus feed. Ciao, ciao.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.